This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Well, many people these days are spending time connecting with others, checking in with loved ones, and trying to support their communities in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. But the political machine keeps on rolling. Yesterday, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders announced the end of his campaign for president. That leaves former Vice President Joe Biden as the presumptive Democratic nominee who will face Donald Trump in November. Meanwhile, a new poll shows a majority of Americans don't like the way the president is managing the COVID-19 crisis. The political junkie Ken Rudin is here. Welcome back, Ken.
Frank, thank you for checking in with your loved ones.
I am checking in with my loved one, and I do hope you're doing well.
I for you as well, and your family, and everybody who's listening.
Let's talk a little bit about Bernie Sanders. Did he really have much choice at this point, do you think?
Well, he didn't, but of course in 2016, when he also had little choice and Hillary Clinton had a clear shot at the nomination, the advantage of the nomination, he didn't endorse her until mid-July. But, I mean, clearly, I think what the shock of Bernie Sanders is that 2 months ago, he was considered, which is remarkable, the all-but-certain nominee after he did very well in New Iowa. He won New Hampshire, Nevada. Everybody's saying he's the front-runner. So to go from a heart attack in October to a front-runner in perhaps February to dead in the woods politically in March and April, it's just remarkable. Well, the whole year has been remarkable.
Well, let's talk about Joe Biden, because in the meantime, Joe Biden had become, in the minds of many, the presumptive candidate. And he has been utterly silent in this, or nearly silent. What do you make of his presence, or lack of it, in this crisis?
Well, he doesn't have much of a choice. I mean, he's not in public office. He's not a public official, unlike Andrew Cuomo, who's been the new darling of the Democrats, who has these daily briefings. And suddenly, I mean, the thought of Andrew Cuomo being cuddly is beyond belief, given who Andrew Cuomo is. But it's a tough situation for Joe Biden. And I don't know if he's the presumptive nominee because everybody likes him, or they just feel he has the best shot against Donald Trump. But the fact is, he's off the front pages because the campaign is off the front pages, and deservedly so. And if there's no more primaries, or at least no primaries until May or June, it's hard to imagine how he can break through.
Well, I don't know.
As of now,
don't you put yourself on the front pages as the candidate who is now going to be facing Donald Trump in November? Don't you put yourself on the front pages by making this a campaign and making Donald Trump's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic your issue?
Well, he certainly should. I mean, I know he had a private conversation with the president this week. He said he offered some private advice. But obviously the country, as you cite that CNN poll that shows a majority of the American people dissatisfied or unhappy with the Trump response. If the people are unhappy with the response, maybe one would think you should come forward. But unless he has something, I mean, I don't know what he can say other than the fact he is appearing now and then on CNN and MSNBC. I think he was interviewed by Chris Cuomo, who also has the coronavirus. I mean, it's a dilemma for the Democratic Party, and it's eating them alive because Donald Trump is omnipresent. He's on the TV every day. But somebody who didn't like press conferences, now he loves being doing the press briefings every single day.
Well, let's talk about running mates, which used to be announced at the conventions. No more. Do we have any inkling about who Joe Biden's running mate might be?
Well, you know, something people saying, well, gee, maybe it should be Andrew Cuomo because of what Andrew Cuomo was doing regarding keeping people aware of what's going on in New York. First of all, Andrew Cuomo is not the kind of person who should be anybody's running mate, given what a strong personality he is. But more importantly, Joe Biden promised, he made a pledge that he'll pick a woman. And so look, for him to go back on that promise would be very strange. I know everybody has his or her own predictions. My prediction is Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, John Lewis, the civil rights icon who endorsed Biden this week, said that it should be an African-American woman. Look, everybody has his or her own choice and predictions. And, that's the only way I could see right now Joe Biden making news or breaking news by announcing it earlier than usual. But then again, if he announces a VP, let's say in April or May, what is he going to do now until August, which is now the next date for the Democratic convention, should a convention take place?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point, because historically, I think the vice presidential nominee really hasn't mattered. It's given a candidate a bump for a moment, but ultimately it doesn't matter. But in this case, given Joe Biden's age and the fact that it's come up several times in this campaign and is likely to come up again, perhaps a more significant choice this time?
That is absolutely important point. I mean, we were talking about, wow, Geraldine Ferraro in 1984, this was so great, and Mondale Ferraro lost 49 out of 50 states to Reagan. Dan Quayle, what a jerk, what an idiot, I mean, what a goofball. And Bush Quayle won 40 out of 50 states in 1988.
And when you're when you said that about Dan Quayle, of course, you're reflecting a kind of a public view that was
a lot of Democrats said, or a lot of people said, well, the guy is not qualified, mm-hmm. and yet it didn't matter. Believe me, that is not my personal view of Dan Quayle at all. Thank you for pointing that out. But the fact is, this does matter. Joe Biden will be 78 years old if he's elected president. And, you know, should he take office, that's his age. That's how old he'll be. And look at actuarial charts alone. The VP will matter a lot. And obviously, you know, Joe Biden is not talking about running for a second term in 2024. God strike me down for talking about 2024 already. But the fact is that his running mate will be a very significant choice, and perhaps the debate for the future.
Several states have pushed back their primary elections, but not Wisconsin. This Tuesday, they held their scheduled spring primary after a political showdown between their Democratic governor and the Republican-led state legislature and the state Supreme Court. What happened?
This was, I mean, I hate to editorialize here, although I seem to be doing a pretty good job of it today, but it was an atrocious decision, basically, to see all these people waiting. First of all, they have a stay-at-home order. Everybody's told to stay home, and yet it's election day. Please go out and vote. I mean, to see all these people wearing masks, crowded, and one of the reasons they're crowded is because so many poll workers called in sick. They were undermanned polls. Milwaukee went from 180 polling sites to just 5, which is unforgivable. And basically, one of the reasons, a key reason, is that, one, Republicans know that a low turnout helps Republicans, and that is true. And two, there was a big state Supreme Court campaign on the ballot, and the Republicans did not want to, the state Supreme Court and the Republican legislature did not want to postpone the primary because they figured a low turnout would help their candidate. We're not going to know who won until they start counting the votes next Monday. But it was politics, and that's the scary thing. I think Wisconsin is even a bigger story than a lot of people are making out to be, because it leads to the fact that if we can't vote, if we can't show up in person to the polls, then the answer is mail-in balloting, and Republicans from President Trump on down are fighting tooth and nail mail-in balloting, even though Trump himself voted by mail in the Florida primary.
And the U.S. Supreme Court weighed in and said the deadline for absentee voting couldn't be extended. So again, every effort to expand the vote has been contracted and beaten back, and a more limited voting pool seems to be the option.
That adds a lot of questions to what's going to happen in November if, you know, God forbid, this virus is still as awful as it is now.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers getting lots of national attention. What other governors are in the spotlight right now? Cuomo, obviously, in New York, but
Tony Evers, absolutely. I mean, although he was late to the cause, he was still saying, "Let's keep the election for now because we have the state Supreme Court, we have the Milwaukee mayor election. It's really not just Bernie versus Biden." Andrew Cuomo, you mentioned, but it's Democrats and Republicans. It's Gavin Newsom, the Democrat in California. It's Larry Hogan, the Republican in Maryland. It's J.B. Pritzker in Illinois. It's Mike DeWine in Ohio. State after state, governors are stepping forward, perhaps because the federal government is not, but the governors who are stepping forward, it is not, for the most part, a political D or R issue. It is public safety issue, and these governors are getting high marks.
So we're obviously, this is an unprecedented time right now, global crisis, big election year. Are there historic comparisons?
Well, I mean, you always talk about, yes, we did have an election in World War II in 1944, even though it was the middle of the war. We had an election in 1864 when Lincoln was reelected in the middle of a civil war. We had an election in 1932 in the middle of a depression. But never had, I mean, look, those are things that obviously were crucial and distracting and kept us involved, but the fact that there's a virus going on, the fact that everybody's staying home, at least for now, there's obviously never been anything like this. And it's, again, going back to Wisconsin, it just shows how vulnerable and jeopardized our sacred right of voting is. And that's why I suggest that the government has got to step forward, but obviously one party thinks that's the case and the other party thinks, no, that shouldn't happen.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.